Are you looking for a new math curriculum? CTC Math specializes in providing online video tutorials that take a multi-sensory approach to learning. Creative graphics and animation, synchronized with the friendly voice of internationally acclaimed teacher Pat Murray, make learning math easy and effective. Favorably reviewed in Kathy Duffy's 102 Top Picks and the Old Schoolhouse Crew Review, the lessons are short and concise to help your child break down concepts and appreciate math in a whole new way. Visit ctcmath.com today to start your free trial. That's ctcmath.com. Welcome back to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. I'm your host, Yvette Hampton. Thank you for joining Abby and I for part two of our conversation with Rick Green from Patriot Academy. If you haven't yet listened to part one, you'll want to go back and listen. You'll definitely be encouraged. Now on to part two. You know, one of the things that I have realized more and more is, and I don't think it gets talked about enough, is that our government, they really work for us. And I would love for you to talk about that because you really were on that other side of it. We don't work for them. You know, they work for us and they're right. Supposed to work in our best interest. Can you kind of explain that and talk about that from the perspective sure. of having worked, you know, on the other side of that government line?
I try to always use the words public servant instead of elected official because mm-hmm. we tend to have this high and mighty kind of view or whatever. And then they tend to get that. It's one of the reasons you know, my family, we have this great debate going that's been going for years on term limits because half the family's for them and half's against them. And I'm for them. I after serving, I just saw how easy your mind becomes like I'm special and everybody around you is yes men and all that stuff, even though you're also being attacked in the media and all that. But yeah, I mean, they just get this sense of entitlement, and you see it more in Washington than you do at the state level, but you do see it at the state mm-hmm. and local level sure. as well. And so I say public service because I want to remind them and remind us they are public servants. They're literally there to serve us. And I think one of the dangers we have is when we think we have such a great system that, I don't have to worry about my freedom. Or we even think I have such a good representative or congressman or governor, I don't even have to worry. Not at all. I agree with Bob McEwen, former congressman from Ohio. He always says, I don't trust any politician any more than I can throw them over my shoulder left-handed. He added a few others in there. But anyway, the point is, no matter how good they are, mm-hmm. they need us in the equation,
yeah.
holding them accountable, encouraging them when they do the right thing, letting them know when we disagree, but doing that, you know, obviously respectful. Sure. And I think one of the dangers is too often we stay out of the system for so long that when the system finally impacts us, we get mad and we respond in anger. Mm-hmm. What we need to be doing is paying attention all the time and letting them know when they do good, even if they're, you know, it may be a pro-abortion Democrat that represents you. But for some reason, they voted to protect your right to homeschool. You never know what's going to happen with a public servant on where they are. Well, you would still call or write them and say, thank you for protecting my right of homeschooling. Now, obviously, you're going to work against them in the election if they're pro-abortion. But at that moment, you thank them because having that relationship with them might lead to turning them on that issue or whatever it might be. All I'm saying is mm-hmm. that tone that we have with holding the public servants accountable is really, really important. And having that mindset that those folks work for us and not the other way around will get us more engaged in campaigns. I want to tell all the homeschoolers out there, you can have more of an impact on elections than anybody else. When I won my first race in 1998, I actually lost on election night by 20 votes out of 30,000. We had a recount and I won by 36 votes. It was wow. that close. And I was running against a really powerful incumbent. But my campaign was homeschool families. We had families with 6-7 kids out at every poll, you know, with the green shirts on and holding the green and knocking on doors. You guys can have such a great impact. So you don't have to just read about civics in a textbook. You can actually go live it by standing at the polls for a candidate or helping someone. So again, long answer to your question, but I think that mindset is real important. Public servants, they work for us. And don't forget what the Declaration says. I mean, this whole system starts with the idea. So if we're going to talk about Constitution, we got to talk about Declaration because that's the foundation. John Quincy Adams said the Declaration is the foundation that the home of the Constitution was built upon. Mm-hmm. So without that, we don't really know what our philosophy of government is. The Constitution is more like a playbook or a rule book. The Declaration is the philosophy behind that. Here's why we think this. And one of the fundamental principles of the Declaration that sets up our entire system is that we set up a government with consent of the governed. And so that means the government can only do what we say it can do. And that's why representative government is important, and we should choose those leaders. But then we also have to make sure that they're abiding by the written constitution that we, the people, put in place. Today, we're at least psychologically, we've kind of turned into a pure republic instead of a constitutional republic, meaning that we tend to pay attention in the elections. Then whoever gets elected, we just assume they're either going to do good or bad, and we can't do anything about it. Hmm. And that's more like a pure republic where you elect them and then you say, hey, you do whatever you think is best. It's all up to you. A constitutional republic says we're electing who we think is best. We want you to do what is best within the boundaries that the Constitution draws. But that idea of boundaries, or what we would call constitutionally jurisdictions or authority, that's what we've lost, and frankly, why we now allow government to run roughshod over our lives and tell us how to do everything. Parental rights is under attack in a big, big way in our country right now. We got a big case in Texas right now on parental rights that's going to be huge. And so the right to homeschool, to choose the education of that child, to choose the upbringing of that child, all of those things, that has to be protected constitutionally. But if we don't recognize that the boundaries we set up in our Constitution don't even allow the congressman or the state legislators to touch that issue, if we don't understand that, if we don't recognize those boundaries, then we're going to say, well, if they think it's best, whatever the state thinks best, we're going to allow. So we got to have basic ideas. Number one, that they work for us, that our rights don't come from government, they come from God.
That's right.
So if our rights come from God and we put that government in place to protect those rights, then we're putting that down in paper and we're giving certain jurisdictional lines to each level of government. We give certain jurisdiction to the family, to the church, to our state government, our local government, and to the federal government. And they're not supposed to get outside of those boundaries. But if we don't know the boundaries, then how do we know when to stand up and say, wait a minute, you're not supposed to do that? We're getting a lot of questions about boundaries right now when the president says total authority, or we're wondering who can do a lockdown. Is it the state, or is it the local, or is it the federal, or can anybody, can they close your private business? Where do they get that authority? All these things that are happening right now, one of the good things is it's causing people to start to wonder for the first time, wait a minute, what's the Constitution say about this? I never thought about that. I mean, you know, so now people are really, really interested in those jurisdictions.
Yeah. Right. And we are called to set up our kids. I mean, as parents, we are called to teach and train our children up. And so it is our responsibility as parents to teach and train our children these ways, so that as these things come, they just as with the Bible, we take them to the Bible for the answers of all things. And when it comes to American government, we need to be able to take them to, and we can't teach them if we don't know what it is. So it is,
that's right.
I mean, I am so passionate that parents need to teach their children history. They need to teach their children the Constitution, where we came from, how we got here. And it gives a peace. Right now, my family, we're doing American history, our second year. And as we're doing World War II, it's just strangely, people would think, oh, that would terrify your kids. And strangely, it's bringing our kids such a peace, because they've seen the hand of God through history, and they've seen it. They've seen the big picture, and that brings a peace and a comfort. And it's so important. And it terrifies me that more people aren't being taught this. It terrifies me that we have a generation that isn't being taught this. So, Rick, what are you doing to help us equip our kid? What, give us some resources.
Yeah, you bet.
People are going to be fired up now. So we want to teach the Constitution. What do we do? What do we do?
Yeah, you bet. I gotta go one side. One thing you said that makes me think of a little bit of a rabbit trail, just real quick. And that, because not only do we want to teach them that sacrifice, and this is up to every parent, and every child's different in terms of maturity level and when they're ready for this, but also showing them the horrors of losing our freedoms, right? And so movies like Schindler's List and other movies that show how evil tyranny can be, and how we can lose freedom and become tyrannical. Most people today don't realize Germany in the 1930s was very similar to America. I mean, very, very, I mean, they experienced a lot, most of the same freedoms they had culturally, the arts, all of those things. It can happen to any people. And so it's not radical to say it could happen here. It's foolish to say it can never happen here. So I do think sometimes telling those stories, maybe telling the story of Dietrich Bonhoeffer or whichever stories you want to choose from that era, just to show our kids, you know, even my 17-year-old the other day, y'all know him as Rhett. He was only 12 or 13 in the show, but in Chasing American Legends. But you know, he finally watched Schindler's List, and he, same thing. He was saying, "Dad, man, I just it brought it home. It made me realize how precious freedom is, mm-hmm. and how bad evil can be. And if you give absolute power to the government, what can happen, and how bad that can become." So using those tools like you're talking about to make them realize that. And again, parental advisory, all that stuff with those different movies. But I think it's important to teach those things. I had my boys watching Band of Brothers, you know, a Holly good version where we got rid of the language, but I still had them watching Band of Brothers at a fairly early age. I mean, they were probably 13 when they watched Band of Brothers, and that's a pretty gory, not super gory. I mean, it doesn't glorify the gore at all. But man, you talk about making them want to be patriots and making them want to defend freedom and to go up and shake every hand of every soldier. Man, it really did. It seared that into their conscience. So there's right. some good tools for doing that.
If we don't know what we have to lose, then yeah. it doesn't yeah. put a fire under us to fight for it. And yeah. so our children need to know what we have to lose, you know.
And look at what's happening right now. People, I mean, how many people 4 weeks ago, when you first time you went to the grocery store and there was no, you know, whatever you were trying to buy, whether it was toilet paper or whatever, but something at the grocery store that you literally were seeing shelves empty.
Yeah.
That's the first taste of socialism
yep.
most people in America have ever had to experience. We read about Cuba and Venezuela and all these places where that's a daily occurrence yep. for them. And all of a sudden people were to have to sit in line at the grocery store and only six people could go in at once or whatever the experience, right? Now being told protesting is not an essential thing and you can't even use your right of petition, the government, or churches being shut down, not even allowed to go in their cars. I mean, we could go down all the list of all the horrible things that are being done and silly things. Had a beautician, a sting operation on a beautician in Texas, no less, that was arrested for doing somebody's nails in her home. I mean, those kind of things should make you go, wait a minute. I mean, if you don't have George Orwell's 1984 as part of your homeschool curriculum, all this stuff that's happening right now should make you include that. But yeah, I think most people now are realizing, whoa, freedom is worth protecting.
Yep.
So that brings us back to how do you do it, and how do you make it fun? I again to plug Chasing American Legends, that starts with any kid. So I mean, even a 6-year-old will enjoy watching a show like Chasing American Legends or Dave Stott's Drive Through History. I'm a big believer in finding ways to tell the stories in an entertaining way. This is not mine. I wanted to do a book like this, but a friend of mine, David Bowman, did this. So it's called What Would the Founders Think? And he's an artist, so his caricatures are really funny. And it's a time machine story where Benjamin Franklin and Washington, and I think it's Adams, they get in a time machine and go forward to our day. And they say, how in the world did y'all get to this point? And then he uses all kinds of fun stories. It's kind of written for really maybe 6th, 7th grade. But I recommend it as even a lap book to sit down and with your younger kids and read through it. So it's a fun way to start really thinking about how government should be set up to protect freedom. So that's not one we wrote. You can get it at patriotacademy.com, or you can just get it at Amazon. It's an easy one to get. What would the founders think? So that's a fun one. And then we do one. I was going to grab one behind me here. This is a kind of a Ben-Hur style. I don't know if y'all remember Ben-Hur or not, yep. but you know, that was the best-selling novel of the 1800s, written, by the way, by a former governor of Indiana, Lew Wallace, and his statue's in the Capitol. If you ever go to the U.S. Capitol, you can go see the statue of the guy that wrote Ben-Hur. But he did that story as a novel, first novel he ever wrote, which is, it's a phenomenal, phenomenal read. But it's fiction. It's factious, what we call faction, where it's true to the times, and it tells the story of Christ accurately, but through the eyes of a character that never really existed. So that part's made up. So we try to do the same thing. And this is a book called The Patriot's Daughter. This is for all it's not just for ladies out there. I have 80-year-old men that come up and say, when is the sequel going to be ready? But it's written through the eyes of a 15-year-old girl in the Revolutionary War. And it's a novel, and it's done in an entertaining way. A little bit of romance in there, a little bit of war, a little bit of, father-son, you know, father-daughter interaction and conflict and different things. But it's a fun way to do that. So those are just, I mean, a smidgen of what's out there. There are tons of great materials. Anything that's going to tell history in an entertaining way and accurate, I must say that, because even in the Christian homeschooling world and Christian universities and Christian private schools, there's a lot of inaccurate stuff out there as well. If you run across resources that are trying to sell this narrative of America being a secular nation and founded on the idea of separating God from everything, run the other direction. They're not, first of all, they're not true. It's not accurate. You know, we've got the largest private collection in the world of Founding Fathers documents at Wall Builders. And when you go into David Barton's library and you read the original letters and journals and resources and speeches and everything else, it just opens your eyes to realize, wow, we really were founded on biblical principles. Yeah. How could we get away from that as a nation? So make sure that they're accurate, but entertaining as well. And then just find application in everyday life. We used to, I mean, even when our property taxes would go up, we would have conversations with our 8, 9, and 10-year-olds, you know, about, you know, should the government be punishing us for investing in our home and adding on the porch? They're now going to take more of our money because we added a porch onto the house. Let's talk about that philosophically. And we'd sit around and we didn't use the word philosophically with them at 8, but you know what I'm saying? And we try to apply it to them, right? And same thing with jurisdictions. You can teach your kids about jurisdictions with their toys and with their room. And, you know, if you have 2, but this is a homeschool program. So if you have 20 kids let one of the kids that doesn't sleep in room A go into room A and paint the room as they choose in some neon crazy color and see if all the kids that live in room A get the concept of jurisdiction and say, wait a minute, that's not your jurisdiction. You shouldn't have got to choose what color our room was going to be painted. But just look for ways real life to reflect how government works, but in your house, because that government's in play in your house right now. Yes, you kind of get to be a dictator as parent, but you know, you can find those examples as well. And that's how we try to teach through Chasing in our books as well. That was a long answer. I'm so sorry, guys. No, I'm getting excited.
Don't apologize. This is what we have you here for.
This everybody's so excited. Everybody's writing all these down. I love the idea of using it in your home. Like when you talk about socialism and, you know, just you've heard it when everybody, you just divide all the kids' grades and everybody gets the same grade, no matter how hard anybody worked. I mean, I just really love those practical hands-on ideas to help the kids really see it play out at home and make it very real for them rather than just this abstract, like you said, when we grew up, it just wasn't fun. It didn't connect with us. But we have, as homeschool families, we get that privilege. We have that freedom to teach our kids history in a fun way, in a way that is meaningful to their life and can connect with them. So we're very blessed to have that freedom for sure.
Yeah. Let one of the kids mow the lawn and tell them you're going to pay them $20 and then split it among all 5 kids and say, you get 4 and they each get 4. And while the other kids are sitting on the porch drinking lemonade and watching, and then pay out like that and say, this is how socialism works. Do y'all like that?
That's brilliant.
I was going to say, one of the things we're doing now that's kind of fun is getting people to host their own Constitution classes. So instead of waiting on us to come do one in their town, we've set it up where they can get access for free right now of all of our materials. So they can take our Constitution classes for free. They can become a host and we coach them through how to do a Zoom class and actually bring people in. And so that way they can invite people around the country. That's a little bit of the oldest. It's really about 8th grade and up that can use that Constitution class and it makes sense to them. I mean, I've had kids as young as 8 go through the class and enjoy it and have fun because we do kind of keep it moving quickly. We teach in Independence Hall where the Constitution and the Declaration were done. So when you're in the room and you can say, well, Ben Franklin was sitting over here and he got up and he did this, or, you know, that kind of helps bring it to life. But in reality, it's really, you know, more of an 8th grade and up type deal, but anybody can do it. So even, I mean, any homeschool mom or dad can sign up as a Constitution host. And even if you just want to do it with your family, but heck, invite some friends and family and either to just join you in Zoom, or hopefully the country's going to start opening up and you can invite them over to your house as well. And that, cause then you can learn together. I think that's a fun way to do it. Stop the video and say, well, now wait, how would that apply today? You know, if when we're teaching on the Second Amendment, say, why is it important? Why shouldn't we just count on the police to save us, even though they're 15 minutes away? You know, what should we be doing? And let them be thinking about, you know, put them in that situation and let them figure out for themselves. Wait a minute, it'd be a lot better if dad was trained. And if I was trained, if mom was trained, and we got attacked, that we would have the ability to defend ourselves. Now scared all the families out there, but you know, we should all be prepared to defend ourselves. 1.2 million violent crimes a year in America. Didn't mean to get off on that tangent.
No, that's okay. So what is
Yvette lives in California. She's like, what is a gun? No,
I'm in Georgia.
Oh, I thought you were. So y'all moved
from California. We're in Georgia now.
You're a good gun-toting mama then.
Yeah, we're good here.
Are your kids ready for some fun? This summer, Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina is offering a career exploration academic camp called EduCamp that's very different from traditional Christian camps.
These fun and engaging summer camps are created with a biblical worldview, and they help kids from kindergarten through high school learn to become who God made them to be. And depending upon your state requirements, many homeschooled high schoolers can earn partial credit for certain classes. All camps are day camps with the option of overnight camps for high school students. Both of my girls attended EduCamp at BJU last summer, and they can't wait to go back again this year. Brooklyn, what was your favorite thing about EduCamp, and why are you looking forward to going back again this summer?
Well, last year I went to Art and Design Camp, and it was such a fun week. I didn't know anyone when I first got there, so I was really nervous, but I ended up making some really good friends who I'm actually still in contact with. I really liked the camp leaders, and I got to increase my skill in art. And everything is taught from a biblical perspective. I can't wait to go back again this year.
Yeah, you and your sister really had a good time. Visit educamp.bju.edu and use the code EDUCAMPROCKED to receive 10% off your registration. That's educamp.bju.edu.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
So tell me again really quickly about that Constitution class, and how do people find out about that? Where would they go?
ConstitutionCoach.com. Real easy website, ConstitutionCoach.com. And we're, because of everybody being locked up at home, we're making it for free right now. Normally it's like a $97 for a 1-year license to get all the materials and host it, but it's totally free. If you sign up right now, you get to get a license, and it gives you access to all our Constitution classes. We got different versions. Some do 6 weeks, some do 10 weeks. But we actually, the fun thing about the Constitution class is we take you into Independence Hall, we teach there, but we also go into David Barton's library, and he pulls all kinds of cool original documents off the shelf. And then we sometimes do live classes online. We're actually going to do a crash course in May, where every Monday, Wednesday, Friday in May, every afternoon, we're getting together with hundreds of families across the country, and we're going to live stream Chasing American Legends, so they'll get to watch the show y'all were talking about earlier. Each afternoon, we'll start with one of those episodes. And then whoever was on the show, we're going to have live on the webinar. So Dr. Alveda King, when we do our episode about MLK, his niece, Dr. Alveda King, will be with us. When we go into the vault at Wall Builders, David Barton will be with us. You guys know Brad Stein. Y'all have Brad on sometime.
We will.
Yes, for you. He'd love to come do that with y'all. But anyway, he'll be on. So we'll be doing that in May. That's a fun way to do it. But even throughout the year, we'll do live classes that people can be a part of. But I just want to, we want to empower people to do this on their own, like not have to depend on us or anybody to come in. I mean, that's one of the great things about homeschooling is you learn to do this stuff ourselves. And so we're trying to do that, is just get as many tools in their hands as we can. So ConstitutionCoach.com is the website to be a host.
That is so amazing. And I'm excited about that because like I said early on, I feel like I know so little about the Constitution and even about history. We're actually also doing American history this year. And it's been so exciting to read through this with my girls, because I know I studied this in school, but I honestly, well, I hated school growing up with a passion. Yeah. And, you know, I would learn to the test and that was it. I mean, after that test was done and over with, I just forgot it purposely, I think. I don't want to remember any of this. And so I'm learning along with my girls, and it's been so exciting for me because I'm regaining my whole education. And so it's been
an exciting. Isn't that the cool part about homeschooling is we all get to learn too?
Yes.
I mean, you don't have to be. That's what I always tell our Constitution hosts. I'm like, you don't have to be an expert. You can get up. I get up in the middle in my classes when I teach. First thing I say is, I'm not some guru. I'm a citizen learning just like you, and we're going to learn together.
Right.
And so as homeschool parents, we get to do that all the time. And you got to have the expectations right with your kids where they don't think you don't set them up to think that we know everything. And that way it's easy to say, you know what? I don't know either. Let's go look that up. And
right.
It makes it so much more fun. Yeah. Anyway, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but that is.
And cool it thing. Teaches yeah. them that we can always learn, you know,
that's
that
right.
we're always learning, that we're always growing. It's not a 12-year, a 12-year plan that then we get out and know everything. So, I mean, that's what I want my kids is, I don't care how old I get, I'm learning, I'm growing. I can always learn more. So that's another fun way to, you know, fun reason to learn with them. In hearing all of this and teaching our kids the Constitution and teaching our kids our history and where we came from and how we got here and our rights and our responsibilities, I go back to that Franklin Graham quote, that Billy Graham quote, that when a brave man takes a stand, the spines of others are often stiffened. And I love that, because that's why we want to teach our children truth. That is why we want to teach our children history and where we came from and where God has us, and that he has us in a place. Because, you know, some people say, why? I mean, that's always my question. Why do I need to teach them this? And it isn't just for us, and it isn't just for, you know, my family, but it allows my children to know enough to be brave, to take a stand, because when they do, they're a light, you know, as the Bible tells us, they're a light. And as Billy Graham said, you know, then often the spines of other men are stiffened. So it is a bigger picture to teach and train our children in all of this. It's for the bigger picture, for, you know, for God's bigger picture and for our nation.
Yep. I love that. It's a purpose much larger than ourselves, right? Absolutely. And our own family. And that quote is fantastic. And it's so true. I mean, we see it all the time. When one person stands up, others will rally. I mean, you raise the banner and others will rally. And so teaching your kids that those are heroes, so that they want to be that hero, that they want to have the courage to be able to do those things. And you do that by just telling those stories, finding those courageous stories. We did a book a few years ago called Legends of Liberty, and we found, I think it was 12 stories, it might have been 15 stories of people like that. You know, and I was mentioning young girls like Dicey Langston and Sybil Ludington, and finding those stories. Even Jackie Robinson in baseball is the first Black to break the color code and color barrier, and the things he went through. And nobody talks about his faith. It was his faith that got him through that. But you mentioned being light, and that's what all of this is. See, when the Bible was the greatest influence on the country, we saw a practical application of salt and light. And so if you think about salt, it's literally bringing out the flavor of the meat and preserving it. That's the two purposes, right? And so as Christians, when we apply the Bible to our culture and our society, it ends up bringing out the best flavor. It ends up producing the best society possible and preserving that society for future generations. But when we're afraid to speak truth out of the Bible, when we're afraid to stand up for what's right because we're going to get shouted down or called names on Facebook or whatever it might be, we're literally shuttering that light. We're literally preventing the meat from being preserved. And that's why you see decay in the culture, I think, because Christians checked out. We bought the lie that said government, politics, that's a different world. And as a Christian, I'm not supposed to do that. I'm supposed to just submit to whatever whoever's in authority says. And that's a warped view of Romans 13. It's not an accurate view of, certainly not the founder's view of Romans 13 or most theologians even, that we should be involved and that we have a responsibility. You know, Jesus said, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's and unto God what is God's. And in America, who's Caesar? It's not the president.
No, we the people.
It's these two ladies I see on the screen right now, right? You're Caesar. I'm Caesar. So how do we do that? Well, we render unto Caesar what is Caesar's by doing our job as citizens, by accepting the responsibility that Yvette said from the very beginning that comes with those rights and actually living it out. And it's not that hard. And even learning about the Constitution, you know, we got this kind of view of the Constitution as it's complicated just because it's written in that kind of old English and it's in cursive and all that. We think this is too hard to understand, when it's actually a super practical, simple document. You can read through it in 15 minutes. And when you take our classes, we walk through, we don't go through everything in the Constitution, but we pick out those things that are most under attack today and that are frankly the easiest for us to influence as citizens. And there are so many areas that we can have a great influence. There was one of the guys that actually wrote the Federalist Papers. So he's one of our 55 framers of the Constitution and also one of the three that gave us the Federalist Papers. And I mentioned the Federalist Papers because it's kind of the instruction manual to the Constitution. Anything you're wondering, what did this really mean? Not just what does it say, but what did it mean? You go to the Federalist Papers and the writings of the founders and you can figure that out. But anyway, John Jay was one of those guys, and he was our first Chief Justice. And he said something that I hope parents out there will hear, because this fits for every one of us. He said, every member of the state, simply meaning every citizen, so not just the preachers and teachers, but all of us, right? Every member of the state ought diligently to read and study the Constitution. By knowing our rights, we will better perceive when they've been violated and be the better prepared to defend and assert them. And actually he says in the middle of that, and teach the rising generation to be free. So that sure applies to us, right? So we've got these kids in our home. They're the rising generation. We need to know our rights so mm-hmm. that we can proceed when they're violated and be the better prepared to defend and assert them. But we got to teach the rising generation these rights as well so that they'll embrace the responsibility of preserving that freedom. They'll actually get excited about it. We see it happen all the time at Patriot Academy. Kids will come in. We don't do real young. We do 16 to 25 years old. But they'll come in at 16 years old, never having done anything like this, scared to death. We always get great videos afterwards of them saying, I didn't know if I could do this or not, but I'm so glad I did. But they're scared to death. They come in. And all of a sudden we're giving them the fire hose and we're putting them on the house floor and they're getting to experience this and they're learning a lot. And after 2 or 3 years of coming to Patriot Academy, then they're running the show. Now they're the ones teaching the next group of young people yep. coming in. And the reason that works is because they get to see firsthand, oh, that's what freedom of speech is real. This is where it applies. Oh, that's why it's so important for me to have the ability to assemble with the people that I want to assemble with, but not be forced to do things that I don't want, or the right of conscience. Wow, you know, I don't want to have my way of thinking. But anyway, that stuff started. You don't have to be a genius. You don't have to be 50 years old to figure that out. A 16-year-old, it makes wow. sense to them when they can finally apply it to their life. So I'm telling y'all, there is a fire right now spreading yeah. across the country. And it's not just in us, in our age group. It's these kids, these young people. And I hate to keep saying kids because, yeah. but they are, this next generation, yeah. they get it. They're getting excited about it. And that excites me. I mean, to see that fire being lit in them and see them wanting to be a part of the solution, man, that gives me hope. You talked about hope earlier, Yvette. That gives yeah. me hope, seeing it in them.
Yeah, that's so exciting. Talk a little bit more about Patriot Academy and what you guys yeah. do with that.
Sure. Yeah. So our idea on that, I was in the legislature when we came up with this idea, my dad, my wife and I, and it all comes around the idea of putting a student, a citizen at that point when they're kind of cementing their core belief system. So when you get to be 16, 17, 18, 19 years old, it's no longer what mom and dad yeah. believed or why they think the Bible is true. Or you got to start saying, I believe this, because, and be able to back that up. So we wanted to get them at that critical age where they're cementing that worldview and put them in the hot seat, put them in the position of being a legislator, let them see the Capitol for themselves, sit in the real chair, be on the real microphones. And then at the same time, through interaction with other young people, not just the old guy like me standing up and telling them and lecturing to them, but them being in the process, a much more kind of Socratic method where they're actually learning it by debating it and discussing those things. And not only then to use that to get them grounded as a good citizen, but then give them the edge, teach them the speaking skills and the rapport skills. How do you work a room? How do you do all these things that'll make you successful in business or politics or education or whatever you're going to do? So they learn the process and the philosophy of freedom, and then they learn the skills to be able to go lead in whatever area. Most kids that come through Patriot Academy don't go into politics. A lot of them do. I mean, we have legislators now elected that came through Patriot Academy, chiefs of staff, hundreds of people working in government that are our graduates. But most of them go into entertainment. They're making movies or writing books, or they go into business or whatever else it might be. So it's in summary, it's a training. It's a leadership training program that makes good citizens, that teaches and inspires liberty in them so that from now on, they're going to vote in every election. They're going to study candidates. They may run for office, but they're definitely going to be involved in the process. PatriotAcademy.com is the awesome. Website. And I said it wrong. I said Constitution Coach earlier. It's actually PatriotAcademy.com is where we're doing that May. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, May. In May, there's going to be 12 classes because there's 12 episodes of Chasing American Legends.
Okay. So you have two things going on. You've got the home crash course that's going yes. from home. Crash course. And then you also have the Constitution classes that yes. families can do.
Yes. Okay. Thank you for clarifying okay. that. Yes. Yes. So one is for everybody, right? Okay. Anybody can be a Constitution host. Go to constitutioncoach.com and you can do that at any time, gotcha. You know, throughout the year. The other is the literally crash course in history and government. And it's just for 4 weeks. It's every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and May. We're going to do Chasing American Legends, and we're also going to do Constitution Alive. But we'll all be on there to talk about it as well. And that one, if you're part of a state association, it's free. So if you're already paying dues to some, you know, whatever state you're in, then you get to do that one for free. If you're not part of association, we want you to join those associations. And if you just don't have one, it's only $40 for all 12 awesome. Lessons.
Will you just go over real quick, sorry, as we're trying to tell the ages of each of those things again, because I know everybody's signing up right now. So yeah. point the ages. What ages are for each thing, the crash course and the Constitution Coach?
So the crash course for all those people schooling from home, is for all ages. So that's for everybody. Okay. And what typically will happen on those afternoons is the first 45 minutes, the little ones will stick around because we'll do Chasing American Legends, and then we'll be there laughing about it and talking about it. And then they'll probably not want to pay attention whenever I jump on to do Constitution class for the remaining 45 minutes. So that one's the last half of each day is really probably sixth grade and up. But everybody can do schooling from home, the crash course. And then the Constitution class is about middle school and up. And that one can be done on your own time. You can be trained on that in a day. If you want to start a class later this week, you can do it.
Perfect.
So very exciting. And someone's asking if you offer family discounts.
On the, well, once you're a Constitution coach, the whole family can take it.
Okay, I think they're asking about Patriot Academy specifically.
Yeah, you know, I don't remember what it is, but I know we do that. And also discounts for when they do multiple academies, because we do regionals around the country, and then we do our big national one. As a believer in liberty, I believe you have to come to the mecca of freedom, which is Texas. Sorry, Abby, I know we said off air that that Idaho was doing even better, but now people are listening, so I have to defend Texas. We do our national academy in Texas in August. That one's still going to happen this year in person. But our regional academies, we had to make the decision to go virtual. So those are going to be virtual academies. So any student 16 to 25 anywhere in the country can join us in June for those virtual academies, which means they're going to be online. All the students are still going to be dressed up like they're in the real legislature. And we're going to have Ben Shapiro and all kinds of cool speakers coming in to talk to them. You don't have to travel. So a lot of kids that couldn't come to Patriot Academy the last few years because of time and travel and all that, at least one of the blessings, I always try to look at the bright side of the COVID crackdowns. One of the blessings is we're going virtual. And so any student can do Patriot Academy this year.
That's awesome.
Very cool.
So very exciting. I want to ask you one last thing. Do you have a favorite scripture that you like to focus on, that you like to share with people?
Yeah, I think, you know, we were talking about representative government earlier and the importance of public servants. So I always come back to Exodus 18:21. And I think what people forget is that being a republic is not an American new idea. We have the first constitutional republic all the way back in Exodus. And they said, choose out from among you leaders of tens, fifties, hundreds, and thousands. Mm-hmm. And we're supposed to choose. And that's basically local, county, state, and federal government. And then we're supposed to choose. This is a great guideline for how you choose good leaders. In fact, usually in presidential elections, I'll rate all the different candidates on these four categories. It says, choose able men such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness. And yes, I think able men means generic mankind and can include women today. I think absolutely should include women. Some of the better candidates today are women. Women are having, just like Deborah, having to step up and where men didn't lead. But anyway, able men means they got to be able to do the job. They got to be capable. Can you not only win the election, but be effective at the job when you get there? Are they honest? Do they tell the truth, even when it hurts them, right? Could hurt your reelection to say, hey, I messed up over here, or hey, this is what I believe. I'm going to do it even if the polling says it's a 70-30 issue. And do they hate covetousness? Do they hate bribes? Are they willing to go say, I'm going to do the job and then come home? I'm not going there for all of the perks. And most importantly, do they fear God? Do they have a biblical worldview? And there are no perfect candidates. I've yet to find one I agree with 100% of the time, unless my wife runs, and then she's right, whether she's right or wrong. So I agree with her 100% of the time. But anyway, there's no perfect candidates. I would have never in a million years thought that Donald Trump was going to do all the things he's done for religious liberty and freedom and homeschool and all the things he's done. So you never know, but you do the best you can with what you got, where you are. You measure the candidates, and then you vote for the best one out of the field. And then if you don't have good candidates the next time around, you run yourself for office and be the one on the ballot.
I love it. And that's Exodus.
And pray.
And pray. Amen. Yeah. And please don't anybody out there think that we're saying politics is the answer and going to solve everything. John Hancock said, I urge you by all that is dear, by all that is honorable, by all that is sacred, not only to pray, but to act, which means we got to do both. We got absolutely. And we should be praying right now for all of our governors, our local leaders, our president, that the counselors around them will have wisdom, that they'll know who to listen to because they're getting differing, and that it's not just like with COVID that happens. With every issue, it's like that. They have a cacophony of, voices coming from every direction. Pray for wisdom for those leaders, that they'll return to biblical wisdom, not just knowledge, but biblical wisdom. And that's the difference. When you have the biblical perspective, you can take the knowledge and actually make wise decisions with it. When you don't have the Bible, all this knowledge puts you in the situation we're in right now, shutting down the whole economy over get me started.
We won't. What was that reference again? It was Exodus what?
Exodus 18:21.
18.
It's, I guess, 20 and 21.
Okay. 20 and 21. Okay. I just posted that on there. So you were just talking about praying. I would love to end this discussion with asking you, Rick, if you would just pray for us homeschool families, pray for our nation. And then we will open it up for Q&A. If anyone has any questions, we would
love to
stand for that.
Love to. Absolutely. Father, we just come before you right now and we just thank you for freedom. Thank you that we get to live in a country where we can even come on this podcast right now and speak freely, Lord, that we can call your name on this podcast, Lord, that we have the freedom, Father, to believe as we choose. We have those rights of conscience. And I thank you so much for the rights as parents to raise our children as we choose. What a blessing we have in America to make those decisions, Lord, that you've given us not just the freedom to do it, but the ability. You've given us so many things, so many tools at our fingertips. And so, God, I just pray for everybody that's listening to this podcast that is homeschooling right now and sometimes trying to figure out what's the right way to do this, that you just give them wisdom, that you'd continue to let Abby and Yvette and others breathe into their life and give them the tools that they need to be successful at it. And Father, I just pray for our country. Lord, I lift up our president, all of his advisors. I pray for our Congress. Lord, we pray for Speaker Pelosi and for Leader McConnell. We pray for every governor across the country and for all of their advisors as well. And I just pray for wisdom. God, I just pray that you'd help us to make the right decisions as individuals, Father, that we would be wise in how we deal with these circumstances. And Lord, that as a nation, we would once again turn to your word, Father. I pray that, you know, with National Day of Prayer this year, as it's been so many of those events across the country have been canceled, we're going to miss that opportunity to come together in communities and call on your name and return to those principles. I pray we'll do that in our homes and that this will still be a year of renewal. God, that you'll just use this whole crisis to wake people up to what's important, that this time at home will hopefully be a time where we can get back in your word and spend time in your word as a family. Just let it, as only you can do, Lord, turn this difficult situation into a renewal in our country, and let the rest of this year in 2020 be a year that we return to basic principles of truth, and it starts with your word. Thank you so much for making it possible for us to even study in the way that we get to today with all the tools at our fingertips. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I really hope you've been encouraged by our conversation with Rick Green. Be sure to join him live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday through the month of May for his History and Government Schooling from Home Crash Course. Learn more about this exciting event and all things Rick Green by going to patriotacademy.com. Until next time, have a fantastic day.